Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
I like doing it. I love running routes.
We better be in Florida, it better be sunny, and there better be some sort of fruity drink involved.
With Matt Harmon.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
Looking forward to facing your mom at some point.
Last night at the bar we were at, I had some really bad queso.
I've never had no bad queso, really.
It's Wednesday, August 31st, and I mean, I've been talking about it on the show for a couple episodes now. We have one hell of an announcement for you. Joining me today and every Wednesday throughout the NFL season is Los Angeles Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Austin.
Yo.
What's up, buddy?
We're running it back, man. Eckler's Edge.
Yes.
Round two.
Eckler's Edge is back. The show that everyone loved last year is now a full-on podcast. I mean, Austin, you have to put up with me and talk to me for an hour every week during the season.
I'll reciprocate that. You have to put up with me and my energy. Whether I win or lose, I'm in a good or a bad mood. So you just be ready for that. You know, remember, I still play. So
yeah, that's a good point. Like, yeah. Well, this is my job too. So like, I'm gonna be riding the emotions as well.
Yeah.
By like week five, I'm gonna be in that mode, like as a fantasy writer, where we're like doing the same thing every single week. You'll be feeling it too. So we'll see where we're at week six.
All I ask, and the same thing I ask for my teammates, hey, we have good energy. We're definitely going to be bringing that. And let's try to stay consistent. Let's try to make it fun, right? That's what we're here. That's what we're here to do. So that's what we're going to bring to you. Looking forward to it. And glad to have you, man.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad to have you. So in addition to being a video show like this was last year, it's going to be a part of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast, our podcast feed, every single week, every Wednesday. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be electric. One of the big things we want to do this year, Austin, is we want to engage more with the listeners and viewers. I don't think really anybody like wants to send me a question. Matt, what are you having for dinner on Thursday? Nobody cares about that. But people definitely want to hear from you. So as such, starting right now, we are accepting emails to askaustin@yahoosports.com. Send us your questions, your comments. If you want to write them out, go for it. But an audio or video recording where Austin will respond to it, that's actually going to get your voice on the podcast. So definitely jump on that.
I love that. You're speaking my language. Like when it comes to me, and one thing that I'm really passionate about is the community. So when we can incorporate people from the community, and a lot of people have me on their fantasy team. So bringing those two together and being able to feel like you have actually some type of input into the show is music to my ears. The same thing I do with my streams. And you stand corrected when you said no one was going to have a question for you, because I know several people are going to ask you how long it takes you you drink this whole thing every day. Look at that. Wow.
For the podcast folks at home, what Austin is referring to is my giant, I won't say the name of the brand because if they're not, you know, sponsoring the show, we're not going to say it. But it's a giant,
barrel.
You can hear it. It's a barrel. It's a metal water bottle.
So you might get a lot of questions about that is all I'm saying. So,
well, you've asked me a question about it. Everybody else in the room here has already asked questions about it. But it's a conversation point, but a bigger conversation point is the 2022 Chargers. We're going to talk about you guys later on in the show when Justin frickin' Herbert, ever heard of him?
Baby.
He's going to be joining the show a little bit later. I mean, my God, this podcast just took like a giant leap up in terms of stardom. We had like Andy Behrens and me. Now we've got Austin Eckler and Justin Herbert.
Hey, Eckler's edge, man. We're coming to you with all the real stuff, right? And so we got a superstar right down the block. He lives in my locker room with me. So, hey, let's bring him on.
Let's
right?
do it, man.
More to come.
All right. So, Austin, this offseason, what have you been up to? How have you been prepping for this year? It's a big year for the Chargers in general.
Wow. I mean, it depends. How much time do we have?
Well, like I said, about an hour.
All right. I can't explain it all. Okay. What have I been up to? There's really a common theme that I'll get back to. And I already explained it was really community building. And so I've been doing a lot of stuff with the Austin Eckler Foundation during this offseason. Been doing a lot of stuff with the new app that I'm building called Experience that we'll talk through more. And obviously been training, keeping up with my body and making sure that, you know, when I'm coming back into now, my body is ready to go. There's a lot of other things like that, like streaming, you know, been doing a lot of different content, but really excited to get back into one of my biggest communities, which is the fantasy football space. So really looking forward to this show and just putting on a show for the fans that are out there at SoFi.
Yeah, man. We're going to be talking a lot about the fantasy community in just a bit. I do want to say you brought up working out. You know, you and I have got a history.
We did. Yeah, we did. Yep. You want to explain?
Yeah. For those that didn't watch it, well, I mean, the show got canceled, so tough scene. But there was a whole, like, pandemic thing that was a thing. Yeah, that kind of threw that off. But, like, literally right before that, Austin and I had, like, a lifting session at the Yahoo office. You came in, and this was right after the 2019 season. So, you know, you had a pretty good year in 2019, but I feel like you've really taken off since. So,
So I had that season, had like 1,000 receiving yards and, you know, like I think 11 touchdowns. Next season, hamstring. And then this last season, which
that was
put me back on track.
Yeah.
Back on track. So as long as I'm healthy, keep that upward trajectory.
But yeah, I mean, so Austin's already kicked my ass a little bit in the weight room, which is pretty cool. That was a few years ago. But any sort of fitness stuff that you've gotten into this offseason that's different from before, or are you pretty much just consistent at this point?
No, I think one of the most important things in the fitness journey of all of us is the consistency, right? And so I do like to switch it up a little bit just for like content purposes. Like that's what you'll see in like my one arm pull-ups. Like I'm not doing that regularly. I'm just like, let me try it out, you know, maybe make some cool content. So I do like that aspect of it. But for the most part, it's been pretty consistent. I actually had this my first year I got a trainer. So I had just a lot of different projects going on. So I felt like I had a lot of different energy and I didn't want to lose my energy. And so I found a trainer that had pretty much the same mindset as I did. And I was like, okay, like I can see this guy training me. And so that was the only little switch up, but still getting after it, still moving a bunch of weight, still put out some great content. It's something I look forward to every off season is finally getting the workout content going.
I'm glad that you brought up the content part of it because, you know, I mean, listen, I'm just like a regular guy or whatever, but
same.
Yeah. Well, okay. No, you're not.
You're a regular guy that, you know, has an irregular job.
That's one way to put it. But it is always funny to me, like how these videos of, you know, you doing the one arm pull up, like Derrick Henry is notorious for having like freaking weights chained to his back and all this kinds of crazy stuff. And I have always thought like people react as if that's what you're doing every single day. But it's clearly just for the
look, there's some stuff that, you know, we have a regiment that's pretty, you know, cater to our specific body type and to our functionality as an athlete. For the most part, we're not like there's a lot of liability when you're doing stuff like that.
Right.
So it's like,
yeah, who signs the waiver?
Probably don't want to be doing that stuff all the time, right? Because it's like the last thing you want is you know, and it's like, oh, Austin Eckler tore his bicep doing a one arm pull up and it was out for the seat. Like,
imagine
that headline, right? Yeah. So it's like, you know, you got to have some, you know, moderation to it, but you got to push the limits. You know, I like to live on the edge, right? And the Eckler's edge, that is. Look at that. Oh, that's, but if you live on the edge of things, I feel like you're always learning, you're always pushing yourself, you're always figuring out, oh, how far can I go? You never want to take it too far because that's when you get in trouble, you get hurt, things like that. But yeah, you want to keep it within your means, but always continue to push yourself.
Always push yourself, man. Always keep driving. We love to see it. Yeah, no, that has always been funny to me, like the crazy workout videos. Like, well, this is clearly not what he's doing every single day. But love to see that you've been in the lab. That's awesome, of course. Let's talk fantasy football. Let's talk fantasy football community. Since you brought it up already, I kind of want to get the, for folks just getting familiar with you and how in-depth you are about the fantasy community part of it. Right. That is like, since getting to know you more, has taken me aback a little, because it's not really, I don't think, normal for an NFL player to be this embedded in it.
Not at all. But I've really, over the years, you know, I talked about that theme of community. And so that was my first draw to the community. And the reason I'm drawn to like big communities, because I see there's so much potential in that, right? And there's so much potential on both ends for me to give myself, you know, the experience of my journey and how I've come so far. And then also in the return of them being able to watch me, you know, actually do things. And so there's value on both ends. And so what drew me to fantasy football was exactly that, was that big community that was being built around my success on the field. And I didn't really realize at first, you know, when I was younger, because I wasn't scored as many fantasy points, you know, so.
Yeah, when would you say this, like what year?
I mean, after? My first year, I did have some fantasy traction because I was the backup to Melvin Gordon. And so, you know, as we know, backups are.
Everybody's always interested in the backup,
man. When you got a 20-person league, you definitely have backups playing for you, like I do. So, so, I see why I was relevant then. But I never really thought of that until I started, like, looking into, oh, like these people are hitting me up for fantasy, you know? Yeah. And then it was, like, up and down because I wasn't really established yet. I had a lot of other special teams roles. And so it was a lot of mixed feelings. And I saw the ugly side of fantasy, which is the toxicity. So, I understood why people don't like it, because the toxicity always speaks much louder than the positivity. But I've just, over the years, continued to grow and mature and understand that, okay, like there's actually a lot of good things going on in the space, and it's actually a huge industry, and there's a lot of opportunity there to make an impact other than just playing the game of football, but also make an impact in people's fantasy teams that they actually cheer for you. Like, I have a lot of people that aren't even Charger fans, right, that are fans of me. And I thought that was very special. And I thought that was an amazing opportunity for me to get fans across the entire nation. And that's why I've put so much effort into it. Not because I love and I want to have myself on my fantasy team, which I do.
Well, obviously.
But it's because I just love that it brings people together. I love that people can be competitive and have some type of, you know, some way to bring them together, have some camaraderie, a little bit of trash talk, and play the game and actually be more engaged in the NFL. I think that's very special. And I think there's a lot to be had there. And I think that's one of the reasons I love just the NFL platform itself for things like that. And so that's what drew me and what continues to draw me back to fantasy football.
I feel like, again, it's not a common sentiment among players, because I mean, it probably is because of that toxicity that you mentioned, but
there's a few other things too. I would say, because I think a lot of players are still just really hyper focused on football.
Sure.
And so for me, I was different. Right. Because I wasn't ever thinking I was going to go to the NFL. Like back in college, I didn't think about the NFL until like my junior year of college. Right. And so after my junior year, my coach comes up to me. He's like, hey, man, you might have a shot. Like, you have scouts calling me about you. And I was focused on using football to pay for my education, because I went through Division II. We don't get full rides. So the way you can get more scholarship money is playing better. So I'm like, OK, I need to play the best I can so I can get the biggest scholarship so I can pay for my school. Right. So I can get out into the business world. I was a business minded guy. I wanted to go on business. I wanted to have my own business. I was going to start house hacking and real estate, you know, renting out my rooms in a house, things like that. Like, I had a plan. Right. And then I was like, this giant opportunity presented itself to me. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna take my same mindset of me trying to grow myself, but I'm gonna put it into football now.
Yeah.
Right. And so that continued to progress, and it nothing's changed for me. I just have been taking advantage of opportunities. And so when you put a community in front of me, or fantasy football in front of me, I see it differently. I see it as an opportunity more so as some people coming at me and just wanting stuff from me. And so that's where I think I'm a little bit of an outlier as far as how I view things in the NFL and around the NFL and the NFL itself.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. Like, your mindset for how you got started always sort of affects
how
you.
Am I even here?
Right.
How am I even here? I took advantage of an opportunity.
Yeah.
I was sixth string on the depth chart. I did not move up the depth chart one time during training camp. I'm stressed out of my mind in training camp during this time.
Really? I didn't know that.
I'll make it quick. So my story, right? I come into training camp. I'm number three. You can't even wear number three as a running back at the time. So I'm kind of like a camp.
That's right.
Yeah. I was kind of like a camp body, right? I was the only rookie that came in the running back room. I was undrafted. So everyone else had been playing. And so I really didn't have a rookie to, like, you know, like, bounce ideas off of or like help me out. So it was just really just me. And I was just so solely focused on taking advantage of the opportunity. I dropped out of my last semester of school just to go start training. Cause I was like, if I have this, I'm going all in. Like, I'm putting everything into this. And so that's exactly what I did. And it came into, you know, OTAs, didn't really get much playing time, just tried to learn and absorb as much as I could. And then I went up to Coach Lynn at my time at the time. And I was like, Coach, I'm gonna make this team. What do I gotta do to make this team? I told him that. I remember I was so nervous. I was so nervous. Cause this man, he didn't even know my name. He didn't even know my name. Right. And I was so nervous. I remember I said something crazy. I was like, the first thing I said, I was just so nervous, like, hey, coach, I like the way you coach, or some weird thing like that. Cause I was so nervous. I didn't know how to start the conversation. And I told him I was going to make this team. He told me like three things. He's like, you know, make sure you protect the quarterback, protect the ball, and get on special teams and go talk to Coach Stu. That was our special teams coach. So I went, go over, talk to Coach Stu, tell him the same thing. Went to my running back coach, told him the same thing. Hey, what do I got to do? I'm going to make this team. And, you know, they all gave me a couple tips here and there. And so I took that to heart, right? And that's what I used that month between OTAs and training camp. I just focused on all those things and just chipping away, trying to establish. So finally getting to training camp, I'm still sixth string. I feel like I'm doing well. I'm getting some reps here and there, and I'm being consistent. But I never moved up, right? And I went through that entire process all the way through preseason, all the preseason games. And after the last preseason game, I was so stressed because someone asked me, I remember a reporter, like, hey, do you feel like you know, made the team? I said, I don't know if I made the team, but what I do know is that you could not have gotten any more effort out of me. That was everything. And that was my goal. I told my family, I was like, don't call me, don't text me during this time. I want to make sure I focus on this. And so there was nothing else I could have done. So if it was meant to be, I was going to be going on and be playing in the NFL. If not, I got to go back to my old plan, right? Either way, I was okay with it because I knew I put my best foot forward. And so that's the shorter version of my story getting here.
But I feel like, again, that mindset has to then – that never probably leaves you, that like
that is who I am.
Yeah.
You know, you can ask, you know, my girlfriend and my, you know, my assistant back here, Madison, like that is who I am. That is how I drive myself. That is how all of the things that I'm involved with are taken. Like I am 100% in, we're pushing. And if it works out, great. If not, we learn from it. Now we can adjust and try to do something else. And that's where I continue to push and push. And I think that's how I've been able to build myself up into the position I am, not just in football, but in life, right? It goes beyond the field. You know, it's more. It's like I always say, I'm not defined by football. Like I'm not a football player. That's what I do. It's a job. It's a vehicle for me. But what I am is really someone that's really trying to find more opportunities to continue to push myself, right? So I'm like this visionary, like this, you know, just I'm like the visionary of my own life, right? Trying to see how far I can take it, you know, because I know I have a limited amount of time. You know, people are like, man, you're doing so much. Well, it's like, I don't have a lot of time. I got to. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Why are you not going hard?
Yeah, right.
What are you doing? You know, like try a little side hustle, try something new, try this, try that. Like there's so much value to be had in the things that you enjoy. And if you continue to push those things, that's why I told you, I like to live on the edge because that's where you learn the most, right? Where you're on the brink and that's where you can learn more about yourself. You can learn more about people around you, start to build a team. Well, like well, I have done that. Now we can have the same vision and continue to push together. And then you start to build an empire and you build a team of teams. And then boom, you just keep going, man. Look at that. We're just building.
It's out
building,
there.
Man, yeah. Building. So that's me in a nutshell.
But I think it's sort of that mindset of like playing with house money in a way. I've always felt that a little bit in my own life, that like, how did I end up here? How did I end up in this job? Like living in LA when I've got no reason, you know, no reason.
Yeah, let's hear it. But man, I mean, it's the first episode. They gotta get to know us a little bit more. So
nobody cares
about
me.
Give us a short version.
I mean, you know, it's like a long shot that there's a lot of people that want to have a job like covering professional football. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of people that do it for freelance. They do it for free. They grind at it for years and you never really make it. I work my ass off to be here. And like, I'm kind of the same way as you, where every day you sort of have to prove yourself again and again and again, not just to yourself, but to the people like viewers and listeners and readers. Like why, like I got to make this show good. I got to make my content
for
good,
sure, man.
Or else people are not going to listen. People are not going to tune in.
And that's real.
And it doesn't matter. I think, I mean, if you're a real one or whatever, like I don't think it matters how successful you are. I bet every single day at practice you have that same sort of mindset of like you have a bad rep, like you need to go at it again, like
yes,
every single time.
It tears me apart if I have a bad rep. Like tears me apart because.
And at this point, you're not like undrafted free agent Austin Eckler. You're no, top five
I still
fantasy
am.
Pick. Yeah,
I still am. Like that's how my mind is. Like so, like I know if I have a couple bad days of practice, like I would have been cut. Like you, I have no chance. I cannot afford that, right? Because I have better than that. I've built up. I should expect the highest from me. And one thing that about me that's actually kind of interesting, like that is one of my pet peeves. It's like when people are like, oh, come on, it's okay. It's like, no, it's not okay. Like, that's not okay. Like, I need to be better. And I hold myself to such a high standard that there's no pressure that anyone can ever put on me that's more than I put on myself. I think that's a very important thing to do, because if it takes someone else to drag you along, then you're probably not in the right space. You're probably not going to be in your position very long, right? Because it's got to be on you. You got to be the one that takes initiative to be where you are, right? And so that's how I've gotten to this point. That's why I'm on your fantasy team. That's why you should draft me. So, relate some fantasy back to this.
Yeah. Oh, before we started like this whole journey, you and I kind of had a little just one-on-one chat. And I said at the end of it, I was like, bro, you're an active NFL player. You're really good. Everybody knows you. It's going to be really hard to mess this show up. And you're like, that doesn't even enter my vocabulary.
Not even, so
that,
thinking of that.
That was my key. Into,
we're saying, how good can we make this
thing? Yeah.
How much value can we give to you? You know, that's what we're trying to do here, right? And I mean, even look at me, man. Like I'm 5'8", like 195 pounds, right? And so, yeah, I have a lot of things that are going against me, right? So it's been a consistent build, right? You just continue to, like I said, to live on the edge, because you never know where your ceiling is, but you will know that you are not getting there if you're not trying, you know?
100%. Well, obviously people love you in fantasy for that ceiling. So you've had a lot of positive interactions with fantasy football managers. So
now, I will say this. I only acknowledge the positive interactions.
Sure.
Yes.
Fair way to look at it. What have been some of the highlights so far, like interact? Because again, I think you're an outlier in terms of how much you acknowledge and interact with fantasy managers out there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Some of the highlights. I mean, every day is been showing to be the highlight when people, I'm walking anywhere and people are like, oh, you're on my fantasy team, like, let's get a picture. I'm like, yes, like that's what I want to have given someone some type of value to their life. I think that's the biggest highlight of me. Yeah, drink that thing.
I was like, when's the right time to do this?
Oh yeah,
we were going so good on the hardcore philosophy stuff. I was like, I can't take a drink during
all right, back to it. So yeah, periodically you might see that, or it might get cut. I don't know. We'll see.
Better not get cut.
I hope it stays. now I lost my train of thought.
People taking pictures with you.
Oh, yes. So if I'm able to add some type of value, because I have this mission for myself to see how far I can push this life that I've been given, right? See how far I can take that. And that's all relative to how I see it. Really, to me, it's all how far can I progress? How many lives can I impact in a positive way? And so this is just part of my journey doing this type of stuff. Like, that's why I love communities, because it's a way I can mass produce value for people. And so that would be the highlight, and is the consistent highlight and the continued highlight that I'm continuing to look forward to and produce.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting. And I think people love that. And you mentioned you're like a business minded guy. That's the part that I think that maybe there's some disconnect between not just players, but sometimes other like NFL, probably coaches and general managers too, that you mentioned there's a lot more fantasy fans than Chargers fans. Like, yeah. The percentage of,
well, you can say that about any
that's what I mean, right? Is like that there's the percentage of people that are just NFL fans and just fantasy fans. Like, forget about that. There's so much blending at this point. I think you've said to me before that the league probably would not be as popular as it is without fantasy football.
100%.
And 100%. I don't think that gets discussed enough.
Because fantasy football helps people invest their time and their actual like undivided attention. They're like, oh, I need to pay attention to this draft and pay attention to my lineup and like watch. I'm watching seven different games because I got guys on these different teams, right? And so that's why I love that, man. I love that. And so that's what fantasy football does. I think it helps us integrate ourselves and our entire league into people that are consumers of this, because now they know a couple different teams. They know guys all around the league. And so it's a beautiful thing, man.
Really, I mean, you think old Scott Hansen's up there doing the Red Zone channel if there's no fantasy football? Like, nobody's watching the damn Red Zone
right.
channel
it's,
without
it's,
fantasy.
It's our own industry, right? You know, and then you bring in sports betting on top of that, you know, like there's all these layers to it. Like, football is the product, but then you add these entertainment layers on top of it, which makes our entire ecosystem, and it continues to, you know, make it bigger and help it grow, and the ecosystem just feeds into itself. And so, like I said, this is one of the biggest things that I love about the NFL is the opportunity of growth, right? In multiple directions. It's up to you to take it in which direction you want to take it.
Mm-hmm. I love that too. Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, I can't believe this is my job.
We have this show.
I can't believe this is a show.
This doesn't exist unless we have fantasy. So shout out to all y'all out there listening.
Dude, hell yeah. Appreciate it. I don't know what I would be doing if there was no fantasy football. Like, I'm not really equipped to do anything else at this point.
Wow.
I mean, maybe manual labor.
Yeah. Hey, I've done some of that too. That'll teach you a thing or two about working hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
For sure.
Yeah. Anyways, before we go back to my career path, let's not talk about that. Let's think more about this idea of the fantasy community and how it interacts with NFL players, because what do you think the sentiment is, or what has the sentiment been when you talk about fantasy football with other guys, like whether it's on the Chargers or other guys that are your friends with across the
league? Yeah. You know, we talked about this the other day, like in my going into 6 years now, like there's probably literally a handful of times that I have had like an actual like deep conversation about fantasy football that's not been on the show with an actual player, because guys just don't really get into it. They're not into it, like because it doesn't affect them, or because, you know, they had a negative experience with it, or just because they really don't care. Like, I really don't know, but that's where I think I'm a little different, right? Because I'm like, oh, there's an opportunity. Let me go take advantage of that.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what draws me, the community part. And so I don't know. It's just, I wouldn't say that it's negative or positive for the most part. Like they're just
indifferent, or
it's just not really, you know, thought of really. So it's interesting though. Like I'm trying to be an advocate of like, hey, you should definitely be taking advantage of this for, you know, community building reasons, for self building reasons, for monetary reasons. Like there's all of these different things that can help you, and you never know how it's going to go. You can't directly like make money from fantasy football, right? Like playing in leagues, things like that. However, there's so many people that would love your input, like things like a show, like things like I do jersey giveaways, things like that, that you can, you know, stimulate some type of community engagement, help you, which will help you in other things in your life. So yeah. What's the best way to get more fantasy football in locker rooms? I don't know. It's got to directly affect us. You know, because if we get deep into business, we don't get, like, there's no cut that we get from fantasy football, you know, right, or things like Madden or things like that, where it's like we have some type of input or play into that. Like we're directly getting paid from Madden for them to use our rights and things like that. So I don't know. However we could, you give the guys a check from fantasy football, then – and that's how you'll get their attention.
Yeah, well, one thing I do, I think it's Michael Gelkin. He has covered the Chargers, I think, previously. He covers the Cowboys. Like, he does a list every single year that, like, puts out the best players in fantasy. Like, who are the charities that they support? Like, you know, you have your foundation. Yeah. Like, give some of the portions that you win in your league, because a lot of people put a lot of money on this.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Give it back. I think that's, like, a way to put it back in the ecosystem. It's not, like, directly going to you guys, but it's in a way to support you there. But
yeah.
I had the idea, too, that this whole show, I mean – I think this is like the mission statement of the show, or one of the mission statements of the show, Eckler's Edge, the podcast version, should be to bridge the gap between NFL players and fantasy managers. Because, I mean, that's like what we're doing, having you on the show, right?
I'm on board, man. I'm on board. I think there's so much value on both sides to be had if we can find the way to marriage it, right? Find the way that people on both sides are happy with their involvement and their effort, and it's worth it for them. So I agree, man.
So what's our step one then in that case? Because I think part of it is, like, you and I have talked about this, like we got to teach some people how to act a little bit. Because like you said, you've had those negative experiences.
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to try to change something, you can't start with things that you can't control.
Sure. Good point.
So we can't control, you know, all the knuckleheads that are going to be.
And there will always be knuckleheads.
There will always be knuckleheads, you know. That's in any community. There's going to, even in my Twitch stream, there's some knuckleheads in there. Riles, I'm talking to you. That's one of my moderators.
Riles banged in a big spot here.
So it's really about, I think, helping educate, right? Because that's something that we can do, right? And then it's up to the listeners to do with that, I guess, value, education, you know, that knowledge is what they please.
Right? Well, it's like you said, you are a football player, but that is not all you are. Like, you're a person that plays football for your job.
Correct.
And I think seeing more of you as a person, and the other guys we'll have on the show, like we got Justin coming up later on the show. We definitely, spoiler alert, we taped the Justin Herbert interview before we did this. You're going to learn a lot about Justin as a person, and like what drives him and everything there. I think that's a big part of it. I mean, not to be super morbid about this, like, but, you know, we just had a situation where Brian Robinson from the Commanders, like, there was a report that he, like, literally got shot. And, like, I see other, like, fantasy analysts, and I'm not going to call anybody out on the show or whatever, but like talking about, oh, well, what does this mean for the command? It's like, are you freaking serious? Like that, right. That is like right. A very real example of these guys are human beings, not just players.
I mean, but there's such this like gamification of it, right? Where you really only see us on TV, right? So you don't have no like personal connection with us. So maybe that's one of the things that we can, you know, draw from Eckler's Edge, is more of that personal connection with some of the guys and hearing more about their personal lives, more about like what fantasy means to them or their experience, and learn, you know, why they think the way they do about fantasy football.
Yeah. So on that note, again, ask Austin at yahoosports.com. Let's make those personal connections. People, I literally cannot wait to see what people send in here.
Yes, please. We want as many questions, serious questions. Those are the only ones that will be fielded that you want to ask, because look, we're trying to help all of us. I think we would all enjoy as fantasy players to have some type of input from more of the players that are on our team. And I think, well, I know that the players are also looking for more ways to, you know, get into the community, build their community up, and make as big of an impact as they can in their community. So there is value there on both sides. Now we got to find the way to connect us. So, you know, whatever you got questions about, picks, you know, whether it's about fantasy, whether it's about, you know, anything, bring them in. As long as it's a serious and you can justify it. If it's not something that we can obviously talk about, maybe it's not about fantasy football, but justify why you're trying to ask the question you are too. Give us help. That'll help you actually get chosen for the questions.
I mean, you're a layered guy. There's a lot that they can find out about you.
A lot of layers.
I think that's, again, it's a rare opportunity, man, that people are going to have here on this show.
That's why we do it.
That is why we do it. One of the other things that we're going to do every week on this show is a little segment I like to call As the AFC West Turns. Because Austin, this division right now, I don't got to tell you this. You know, this is your thing. You're playing in the division.
Oh,
it's freaking stacked right now. You know, you've got the Raiders out there trading for Davante Adams. I mean, you guys making big moves. You know, bringing in Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson, like fortifying a defense that, like, let's get them as good as you guys on the offense.
I'm telling you.
The Chiefs are you know, kind of entering their post Tyreek Hill phase. The Broncos traded for some guy named Russell Wilson. Like, when you look out at this division right now, what's your reaction to the competitiveness of it all?
Yeah. I mean, just in general, the NFL is very competitive. Like, it's really hard to win football games in the NFL, no matter what your record is. And we've seen that play out, especially last year. It was crazy. I feel like, you know, there's a bunch of upsets as far as if you're looking at records. And so when you bring a lot of consistent players that have played high-level football at a consistent rate, like the guys that you just mentioned, you bring them in, it makes your division, especially all in the same division, it makes your division that more, I guess, reputable, right? Because it's like, okay, there's a lot of guys that have done a lot of great things over here. So for us as an organization, it's great, because it's like, we're going to find out who's real, real quick. Like, who is actually got a playoff team, right? Like, we're going to find out and we'll know. Because, I mean, shoot, for us especially, we got two division games back to back, right? We're opening up with the Raiders and going Thursday night football, you know, with the Chiefs. So when you bring these guys in, even us, you know, it's like, okay, we have more consistent players, right? That's what it comes down to. And it's all on paper, you know, and this is something that I talk about a lot. Like, paper doesn't play football. Like, we play football. So you got to show up every single day. Because I remember last year we were playing the Baltimore Ravens. Everyone's like, oh, it's going to be a great game. You know, both teams have a lot, you know, a lot of talent on their team. 7-40. 7-40. We got stomped.
Yeah.
Right. So, like,
I remember.
Oh, yeah. So, look, we have all these great players, but it comes down to us, you know, as the Chargers, as an organization, week to week, coming out and showing out what that actual talent looks like and putting it from paper to the field and actually making it something that actually is exciting, not just hype from the beginning of the season.
And that's definitely why I want to talk about this division every week and kind of like take your temperature on where things are, because there is a lot of hype. There's a lot of media. I mean, people are like, hey, can we go ahead and move every single primetime game to just being an AFC West matchup? Like, is that possible? And I mean, I'm sure you guys feel that within a locker room, even if you are focused on, not paper, making the plays.
Well, for us, like, we never see further out than one game, really. Like, we can't. Like, for us, we have to focus. We have to hyper-focus on one team at a time. We can have an idea of what's happening. Yeah, there's a lot of great players. That doesn't matter. What matters is we're playing the Raiders this week. It doesn't matter that we're playing the Chiefs next week for Thursday night. We need to beat the Raiders right now, right? And so that's how we operate in the NFL. Like, sure, we're all trying to work towards a Super Bowl, but we're not even thinking about Super Bowl. We're not even thinking about playoffs. We're not even thinking about week two. We're thinking about the current week. How do we beat the Raiders right now? And so that's when people ask us, you know, like, how's the conference? Like, yeah, it's tough, but guess what? Every single game is like that for us. Yeah. Like, we approach every single game the same way. And it's just been built into us since we were, you know, in college and high school. You know, that's just how you approach it, because that's the thing that matters most. Like, right, what's in front of you is your biggest opportunity. Take advantage. We got to go do that.
Yeah, it's like a week by week league.
It literally is a week by week thing, you know. And so the media, I think, helps hype it up, right? Which is great, because people, it gets people excited, things like that. But when you're actually down in it on my level, ground level, like, you don't, that's going way over your head. I'm not even looking at that. I'm looking, you know, pinpoint focused on the Raiders.
And I love that. And I love your mindset about that. That's going to be, like I said, it's going to be really fun to kind of take your temperature every single week, how you're feeling. I mean,
yeah, we can give a breakdown on it. We can give a breakdown on it, you know, but for the most part, yeah, give you the week-to-week breakdown, especially when we're playing them.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I'm excited about. So just, I mean, we're going to talk Chargers here with Justin in just a minute. We're going to really dive into all of that. But just you specifically, how are you feeling about this team coming into this year? Second year under a new coaching staff. I always feel like that's where teams sort of start to find themselves, find their identity, and it all kind of starts to blend in there.
Yeah, no, it definitely helps. And it helps because now you're getting some consistency within, you know, what the head coach is trying to instill into the offense, as far as, hey, this is the mindset. He has, you know, our phrase called our way. It's all usually all over the building.
What does that mean?
It's our way. So how he describes it is that we want to create a competitive atmosphere where we're all kind of giving our input as far as how we want to move forward. You know, so we have this like leadership council that will come together. Like, for example, we'll do things like, hey, this is what the practice schedule looks like. Do we like this? Like, this is what the schedule of the day looks like. Like, here's what we're thinking about doing. We're going to rest your bodies a little bit more on this day. So it's our way. Like, we're all inputting, trying to come up with the best plan. At the end of the day, he's going to have the last say, but he wants to get input from us, from all of us, because we're all in this together. And so that's what our way stands for. And so that's what he implemented last year. Now we're pretty much on board, have some turnover from the guys from last year to this year. And now we know the mindset, we know where he's coming from, we know his standards. And especially having Joe Lombardi back is great, right? Because now we don't have to learn a whole new offense.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm not doing my flashcards again. Like, I know the offense. Now I'm able to build on that. Now he's like, oh, Austin did well at that. Let's try to put him in this position, right? It helps us continue to expand, especially for Justin, right? Like, his mind, he's got to learn so much, especially going into, you know, it's only his third year, right?
We forget that, like, how damn good he is already. And it's like only his third year. Second year. I think there's some kind of crazy stat I heard that this is like the first time he's gone like offense to offense back to back years since like his freshman year of college or something like that.
So I'm sure that's a little bit more of a relief to him.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, like, this is familiar. I don't have to start over.
Right.
So yeah, man, like, all that being said, like, it comes down to what I was just talking about, man. Like, you're going to hear me saying a lot of the same stuff, because it is. It's a lot of the same stuff week in, week out. So we have a lot of great pieces on our offense. Like, our offensive line, I feel like, is really solid. You know, we got playmakers all over the field. We brought in a couple, and yeah, man, we're ready. We're ready, man.
How do you think your role in particular has changed in this offense versus like what you were doing earlier in your career?
Ooh, wow. Early in my career, obviously I was splitting carries, and now, you know, I'm more so like the workhorse. Like, I'm the back, right? And then it's like, okay, can you keep going? Are you tired? Hey, we're going to limit your reps, but that didn't really happen that much. Like, you're going to be playing. And I mean, that's my mindset. I'm trying to make myself the most efficient player on the field at all times, right? So I can, that you're going to want me on the field. Absolutely. Cause I'm going to be doing things with the ball.
It'll be a net negative going from someone else or going to someone
that's,
else.
That's my goal, right? Cause I'm trying to play so well that it's like, man, we got to have this guy in the field and draw that much attention to myself. So maybe it helps other people, or just continue to, you know, to put out some stats for y'all's fantasy teams. so hey, it's a combined effort from our team and to myself. So but my role over the past year, I think it has really grown more so in the leadership aspect, I would say. And I think it's just because I've continued to grow, and I think my teammates are starting to realize, wow, this guy continues to get better. And it's like, why is that? And so now I see myself more like helping guys push themselves. Like, I'm trying to drag, like, not drag them along, but give them this wake of like motivation and some type of like oomph behind them, trying to come in and make sure we're, you know, trying to get the best out of ourselves, which I didn't really have that role when I was a little bit younger. And I think it's one of those things that for me, I kind of just earned the respect and kind of built myself into that role. And I take it on. I love doing that type of stuff, talking about like talking to people, talking to young guys, you know, just voicing my opinion, just letting people know like, hey, this is what I'm expecting from all of you during this period or in the weight room. Like, this is what I'm expecting. And I'm not, like I said, you can't control people.
Sure.
But you can give them a message and they can do with it what they want. Right. And so if I tell you, hey, man, I think you can go up and wait, like, you don't have to go up and wait. But I'm like, man, I think you can go up. I think you can go harder at practice.
And who you like know? Hears that and then says, nah,
they're probably our guys. They're probably guys that are like, yeah, yeah, he's you know, he's going over the top. But
yeah,
I'm still going to be vocal, right? It's for you to do with what you want.
Sure.
You
know? Well, let me tell you what, if it was me and you said that, like, I always view someone challenging you, like, well, you got to meet that, especially if it, like you said, somebody like you who's an established vet, like a yeah. superstar in the NFL right now at this point, top five pick in fantasy. I mean, across the board. So that should be motivating.
No, for the most part, I feel like I don't want to overdo it. Like, I feel like I've gotten a good balance where I'm like, I just voice myself. Just like I said, just if I feel like there's a good message, a time to have a message to the team. Like, I think that's where I've grown as far as the leadership role. So I think I have a good balance with that on the field, in the weight room, in the locker room, just trying to help guys help themselves, really. Because this old saying that I love, it's you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? Like, you can give all the tools, but if you're not taking your own initiative, then that's on you, right? So I'm going to try to give you as much as I can, you know, that I've been around. I've been around for 5 years now. And so, look, this is what's worked for me. This is what I've done. Take it as you want.
100%, man. Well, you're a good example for people to have. So before we throw it to our interview with Justin here, which it's a good one, spoiler alert, I want you to give
a... Keep spoiling. We'll see how it goes.
Dude,
we'll see how that edit comes out.
I pull the curtain back at any point that I can, because people like that stuff. And that's my opinion.
No, that's good. I like it. You give them a little foreshadowing there.
Yeah, exactly. People, yeah. You should be excited about it.
Tease them a little.
We want to hype people up. And that's what I want to end this on here before we throw it to Justin. You talk about the fantasy football community. You talk about all these people who are drafting you. You talk about giving a message to people out there. Let's get some people who are about to draft, if they haven't already drafted, they're about to draft Austin Ekeler, or they already have drafted Austin Ekeler on their fantasy team. I told you I was this close.
I know.
Yeah, I had to take Cooper Kupp at 7 because someone took you at 6. So no, I don't have any Austin Ekeler teams yet, which is kind of a bummer for this show.
Wait, how many teams do you have?
That's a good question. I have between just regular redraft. I've cut back. At one point, I was like 15. At one point.
Wow. So do you have any on any of your teams?
No. It's not my fault. Okay?
And that's the end of the show. It's not my fault.
Should I take him second overall instead of Christian McCaffrey?
Yes.
Okay. What about first overall?
Yes, you take me first overall.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear you say it. Okay, so for all the people out there who haven't drafted yet, they could draft Austin Ekeler, or they have drafted Austin Ekeler. Give them a hype speech. Give them a stump speech for why they should be gassed up.
Yeah,
for
you. I mean, I don't know if I can totally hype you up, but here's what I can tell you is that I'm going to be consistent. As long as I'm healthy, I will produce. As long as I'm on the field and given the opportunity, you're going to get points from me. You're going to get touchdowns from me. I'm probably one of the most consistent running backs in the league. You know, there's running backs that are a little bit more flashy than me, you know, like Nick Chubb. That guy is running for 60-yard touchdowns, running through people. Good. That's a good guy to have on your team. You know, same with, you know, Jonathan Taylor. But look, me, you're going to get a bunch. You're going to get some diversity, right? I'm going to be catching touchdowns. I'm going to be running touchdowns. I'm going to be consistent week in, week out. As long as I'm healthy, what else do you want from your running back, from your starting running back? You want consistency and you want touchdowns, right? You want him catching the ball, running the ball, doing it all. That's why I'm your guy.
That is why he's your guy. And my promise to you, Austin, is I got 2 more drafts left.
Hey,
and if I don't care, if I have the first overall pick, I'll take you just for the show.
Let's go, man. I mean, it's not going to be a terrible pick.
I mean, I would. Yeah, no kidding.
It's not going to be a terrible
There's
pick.
There's a spoiler alert. It's not going to be a terrible pick.
It's not
going
to be a bad pick. You know?
All right. Well, there. That's my promise to you. That's Austin Ekeler's promise to all of you out there. We are going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to welcome on Justin Herbert, superstar quarterback in the NFL, right after this break.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, now joining us is, I mean, superstar quarterback Justin Herbert of the Los Angeles Chargers. Justin, thanks for hanging out with us, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, welcome back. Second time on the show. Yeah. Second time finally in person. And we're looking forward to fantasy. I don't know if you kept up with it at all last year, but if you had you and me on your team last year, you probably ended up winning your league. I was just going to say that. We did our thing last year in the fantasy play. So looking forward to running it back, man.
Yeah, I am too. I'm going to do my best to get you the ball. So everyone that has you on,
I would do my best teams, to do as much as I can.
It'll be good. Yeah.
Let's get it done.
Let's actually jump in on that point right there, getting Eckler the ball, right? Because I think that one of the biggest differences, and this is just totally me thinking out loud here, the difference between the Chargers offense last year and then your rookie year and even like before that with Anthony Lynn was like they seemed more willing to use Austin as a pass catcher around the goal line. Like Justin or Austin, jump in there and tell me if I'm totally wrong about that.
Well, one thing I'll say that is a difference is obviously the dynamic of Philip Rivers to Justin, right? With Philip, you know, like I have a lot more routes because they want me around him a lot more just in case something breaks down. With Justin over here, like he has the athletic ability, right, to, hey, he can extend a play a little bit longer, right? So there is that dynamic that is a little bit different, especially down in the red zone where Coach Staley says it all the time, quarterback's legs come alive. So I think you see that be more of a disadvantage that we had before, where it's like, hey, maybe now we need to have Austin out and route more often than blocking because, you know, Phillip's not going to run.
Yeah.
We're now, hey, let's give Justin a little bit more time. If he has pressure, we don't need Austin blocking in. He can run and find someone else in the end zone. So I don't know. You got thoughts?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for us is like in the red zone, everything gets tighter. And so to have five receivers out, having you out run routes, you know, it gives us a huge advantage down in the red zone.
Yeah.
And then if that doesn't work out and we go through our reads and we find you and check down and you go make something happen, there are multiple ways that you can get the ball, and especially running.
Right.
And the guys that we added on the offensive line this year as well, you know, we've got so many targets down there. And to be able to get those guys the ball, I think that's kind of our entire goal.
Mm. If you're not excited about us and our offense, then I don't think you like football because, man, I look at our offense and I look at our team and I'm like, gosh, we got guys that make plays everywhere. You know, we just brought in, you know, Gerald Everett. He's been making some crazy catches. And I'm like, well, obviously he's throwing dimes out there and he's making these snags. I'm like, that's what I like to see. Like,
Yeah. Like
a little dynamic that we didn't necessarily have in the past as far as from that position, just his skill set. So obviously Keenan brought Mike back in too. So, oh, just like us down in the red zone, especially look out. Look out, man.
I mean, I love any time you could tell somebody, hey, if you don't like this, you don't even really like the sport. That is
Look,
that is one of my
favorites. We are just nothing but exciting playmakers, right? Which we got to be out here. We're in a crowded neighborhood in L.A., man. So if we're going to have anyone in the seats, we got to be making it exciting. And what are they here to see? They're here to see some offense. They're here to see, you know, let's play the electric guitar, stuff like that.
I mean, I think it's going to be sick. Justin, I heard that last year you told a story on the show about how your dad had drafted you in fantasy. And I think it was your rookie year,
yep.
Right? Yeah. Update us on this. Like, did your dad draft you last year? Is he going to draft you this year? What is the dynamic there? Because I'm going to tell you what, like, you know, me and my dad are close. I would feel a lot of personal pressure in that situation.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. So he took me pretty late 2 years ago, which I wasn't expected to play a whole lot. So that was kind of a reach. And so he took me and it worked out. And I think he took me in the first round last year, which was pretty early for what was expected.
I would say so, yeah.
Sure. And so a lot of the guys, like the neighborhood guys that we grew up with, and they kind of gave him a hard time because, like, you know, you're drafting your son in the first round. And, you know, hopefully I was able to help him. I don't know if he won the league or not. I'd have to ask him. But no, definitely knowing that I'm a potential draft pick for him, it definitely makes me want to play better for him. So it's huge.
I mean, you've already got a lot on your shoulders anyways, right? Why not just put one more thing
on
there, right?
Right. That's right.
Austin, you got any like weird stories, sort of the same type of thing where somebody you know drafts you or like family members?
A lot of
like
people.
That?
A yeah. lot of people I know draft me.
Well, I know that you know a lot of people like online and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, like Mike, it's funny. Actually, my head coach from college, his wife texted me, yesterday, and it's like, ha, I got you before Jazz did. That's my head coach's name. That's the second year in the row she's got me, and she won last year, so looking to bring that back. And then, like, I'll just be at random places. Like, we were at a meeting today, for my app, and we went upstairs in this meeting room, and this guy's like, hey man, just drafted you last night in our draft. Like, so like people are always,
I mean, I actually just said that now that I think about it, I just said that like five minutes before we started recording.
So yeah, now you start to see how apparent this is coming in my life. Now you see why I'm taking on and embracing the fantasy football community, because you know, there's nothing against our Chargers fans, but there's 10 times, 20, 30 times more fantasy football fans of Austin Eckler, of Justin Herbert than there are for Charger fans. So if I'm trying to build a community, trying to give back to someone, that's also going to be, including the Charger fans, another community that I'm going to give back and show love to.
We're all about breaking down the barriers between NFL fans, fantasy fans, and like you guys. Because, I mean, that's what it's all about. Like, we don't get to play this stupid little game if you guys aren't playing football and crushing it and stuff like that. So on that note, Justin, one of the things, like I said, Austin and I want to do on the show all year is sort of break those barriers down. I think part of that is getting to know Austin, getting to know the guys that come on the show too. Is there anything interesting, weird, off the beaten path about Justin Herbert that people don't know about that they should know about?
That's a good question. Honestly, I think outside of football, I live a pretty boring life. And I think football has meant so much to me over the past couple of years that I look forward to going to work every day. And when it's the off season, I feel like we have too much time off, and going to lift and run and throw, it gives me something to do and to be around the guys in the facility and spend time with the coaches, the staff members. You know, I think this is the greatest place in the world. And, you know, it's taken up so much of my time, and I've put everything I can into this game. And I think the one thing that people would know is hopefully I'm going to do everything I can to be the best quarterback, teammate that I can be. And all of my focus is on being the best quarterback that I can be.
And let me build on that too, because actually I learned that too about Justin. I don't even remember. You probably don't remember either, but someone asked you what you'd be doing besides football if you were, and you said you'd be coaching football. Mm-hmm. And so when you said that, I was like, yeah, this guy, that's my quarterback.
All business,
like,
baby.
That's my quarterback, man. Like, this man is bought in. And obviously we know, you know, the ceilings that can be reached, or I guess the opportunity in the quarterback's position is especially too. And so when you get someone who's bought in as much as you are and has a talent, skill set, and the mind, like that makes me want to play longer.
Well, I appreciate
like,
that.
I want to play for this guy, man. Like that's what I'm talking about.
Hey, as long as you do that, I'll get you the ball. So
so I appreciate you, man. Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that with
all the way bought in. We'd love to hear it. Well, let's talk about the Chargers, man, because like you said, Austin, this is going to be an electric offense, no pun intended. That was pretty bad. But like, this is going to be an awesome offense. It's going to be must-see TV every single week. Justin, Austin, how are we feeling like coming into this year with just a litter of playmakers, but also a lot of expectations as well?
Well, I think going into year two with the offense is a huge help as well. Knowing the offense and stepping out onto the field for OTAs and training camp and already having a year of film to go through, and everyone seems so much more comfortable with the offense, and you're able to bring in a guy like Gerald Everett, Zion, and you're able to get them up to speed pretty quickly. And so to have all those guys, all those weapons, it makes my job a lot easier.
Heck yeah, man. Like I said, man, like, it's so much fun. And, you know, coaches always say, hey, go out there and have fun. Well, what is fun? Winning is fun.
Yeah.
If I'm losing, none of us are having fun. So if we're going to go out and have fun, we need to be making plays. We need to be scoring points. We need to be moving the ball, right? And that's what we have in our locker room, man. I'm so excited for us to get out there and finally put a real product on the field, just because we know the history of some of our players that we have on our team, right? Keenan, Mike, I'm talking skill players. And obviously our O-line that has been solid since last year. And now, you know, bringing in Zion, as you said, you know, even helping us out even more. There's nothing less to be said. Like, we're all so ready. Like, we're at the brink point of actually playing. And so now it's just a matter of time. Like, we have a lot of consistent playmakers. Now it's up to us to actually go out and put it on the field and show that we can be consistent and actually put it together. Because to have something on paper is a lot different than actually playing the game. Paper doesn't play football. We do, right? So we got to go out there and show that, yes, we are these types of players. There is a reason you should be excited, and this is why.
I'm glad that you both have brought up the offensive line too, because I think that's probably the thing that, especially fantasy folks, because, you know, they don't put offensive linemen in the lineup. Maybe that's another format we can think about at some point, like offensive line fantasy. But I mean, I think we're deep enough as it is. But, you know, that's a dynamic that I think a lot of fans don't consider. But that has been a huge, like, since Justin got here, they bring in a center in free agency. You know, that was key. You draft offensive linemen. That's a unit that they're continuing to build
brought
up.
Brought in Matt, too. Matt Filer, left guard. He's been solid. Heck yeah. So
it's something that I think goes undersold, but it is, like, I mean, key for your success. So I mean, that's kind of the starting point.
And it plays on, you know, I knew you want to touch on this, but like you said, that feeling of all in, you know, like,
yeah,
I knew
you're already
I knew you're gonna touch on that. But like, it's not necessarily like all in as far as like, oh, like now we're all in because of the situation we're in. But we're in a situation right now where this guy is about to get a big paycheck. And so right now the Chargers are trying to beef up everything else we can before we get to that point. Right. And so that we're like, hey, let's get something solid that we can build on. Right. And we're in that foundation. Moment. We're in that moment right now. Where we're like, okay, let's get it. Let's get some guys locked in for a few years. Right. And so when Justin's time comes where he is, gets his much deserved contract, then it's like, okay, we got players in place. Right. And now we can continue to build. Right. Like we have these pieces, right? You got to move them around. It's so strategic when you bring the business side in because you can't just go out and get all the best players or the NFL wouldn't be any fun, right? And so we're in a moment right now where it's like, hey, take advantage. It's very, very particular. So I'm liking our odds this year.
Yeah, Justin, I ran this idea past Austin when we talked before the show, you know, about the Chargers being, quote, all in, right? Because that's the thing I feel like that media talks about. And part of, and maybe this is just the way my mind works, I'm like, what the hell does that really mean? Like, is that just a thing that we talk about on the outside that you guys don't consider at all? But is there a feeling of like, okay, wow, we went out, we got a guy like Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson, you know, made some big moves in the offseason. And the rest of the division too, like that's something I want to talk about every single week on the show. This division is one of the best in football right now, if not the best. Everybody's talking about it. So is there any extra layer of, oh man, like I can, is there a feeling that the team is all in, or is it just, hey man, like you seem like an all business guy. So we're just kind of going about daily business at this point.
No, I think when you say all in, I interpret that as what are you willing to give up this to win? What are you willing to sacrifice? And I think the front office, the Spanos family, Tom Telesco, Coach Staley, all those coaches, they're going to do anything they can to win. And, you know, they've paired up with a whole bunch of players in that locker room that feel the same way. And I know the Eck does, and the entire offensive line who doesn't get nearly enough credit for what they do. They want to win. And that's the whole mission here. And when you get an entire organization working toward that goal, you know, I think we can accomplish a lot of good things.
Yeah. We're all rowing in the same direction, basically. We're all on the same page.
I like it. That was a good one.
I try my best.
I like it.
All right. It would be stupid if I was on the show and didn't get like a scouting report on every single kind of like major fantasy player from you guys. I mean, obviously we have like a top five pick here in Austin Eckler. I mean, you said to me the other day, you weren't like aware of how high you were going.
I really
in
wasn't.
Fantasy.
I was like, dang, people are like taking me like top four, top five. Like,
I'm surprised that you're out of the top five. Like, if I hear that, I'm surprised. I think you should be, you know, way up there.
I know. So. I was like, oh, you scored 20 touchdowns. People like that apparently in fantasy.
That's what I thought.
Well, the thing is, though, everybody comes after. It's like, well, he scored 20 last year. He's not going to do it again. He's going to regress. Like, touches, you know, touchdowns per target.
We'll see, man. Hey.
I'm taking you first overall if I'm in a fantasy league.
Gosh, I told you, man. Play for this guy forever, man. Sheesh.
Let's talk about some of the receivers, too. Like, Keenan Allen is a guy that, you know, he's been doing it for years. He's been consistent. Andy Barron's one of the other hosts on the show, just talks about like, I can take Keenan Allen as like receiver eight and just like set it and forget it. 100 catches, boom. I know what he's going to be. And he seems, Justin, to me, as a guy that's like fits perfectly in this kind of like quicker strike offense. But I would like, if I could just personally make a little bit of a petition to you, and you can, you know, take this to the coaches too. I'd like to see some more like downfield stuff for Keenan Allen this year.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, it's tough because he's just been so consistent, and especially on third down, you know he's going to get open. And,
always.
You know, he's had so much success over the past few years that you just put him out there and you know that he's going to give it his best, and he's had an incredible camp so far. You know, we've seen a lot of good things from him, so I'm looking forward to watching him this year.
And look, you got to play your players where they're going to be the best, right? Yeah. And where is Keenan going to be the best? Intermediate, short, cross, like that's his bread and butter. That's why he got paid. That's why he's getting paid $20 million a year. Because of the doing that stuff. So you seeing him down the field? Maybe. But I definitely know you're going to see him in the intermediate getting open. That's for sure.
100 catches, 110 catches. Like I said, you can book that every single day of the week.
Absolutely.
Mike Williams, though, kind of had a breakout year last year. They signed him back you know, before he hits free agency, which is awesome. He's a guy, though, that, you know, Austin, you just said, like, you play a guy where he wins. He sort of in the first 4 weeks of the season had kind of that like lower average depth of target. Then you see him get more vertical looks. Where do you think, Justin, Mike Williams fits in best as a guy winning outside at wide receiver?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think with Mike, he's put in so much work the past couple of years that I think he's unlocked a whole bunch of different aspects of his game where it's not just deep balls. It's not just throwing it up to him. It's, you know, he can win short routes. He can win intermediate. And, you know, he's a threat inside, outside. And even hand the ball off and like letting him go do something with it. He's incredible at that. So
he'll love that one.
You gotta respect that.
He'll love that.
I think Mike's gonna have a big year, and wherever he plays, he's gonna make something happen.
All right. So those are the obvious guys, right? Keenan, Austin, Mike Williams, and you too as well, Justin, obviously. Who are the sleepers on this team? Who are the guys that like could take that next step, whether it's Josh Palmer, you know, one of the other guys on the roster, who we think in, you know, potential breakout in fantasy this year?
Yeah, I think Gerald Everett has had a great camp so far, and he's definitely one of those guys that's going to get a bunch of targets, able to beat man coverage on third down, and he'll be able to take some of the attention away from Mike and Keenan on third down. So I think Gerald's going to have a big year too.
I would agree, man. I mean, I'll put Josh Palmer in there too. Like this guy, every time we see him on the field, he's making some type of play. You know, he was doing that his rookie year last year. Obviously, we saw it, you know, at the end of the season, but we saw it, you know, throughout the season as well. So that's what I'm saying, man. Like, just draft all of our skill players, man. Those are the sleepers.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, right? Like, okay, well, Austin, the one question people definitely have in fantasy, you know, it's always about like not just the starting running back, but who's the next guy. So there's a lot of guys on this roster. You know, you got Josh Kelly, you got Leonard Roundtree, Isaiah Spiller. They draft this year. Who's the RB2 on this team right now, and who might it be by the end of the season?
Look, after the last preseason game, like I saw Joshua Kelly run like his life depended on it. And that's why I'm like, I need to see that fire from you every time. Mm-hmm. But then I also saw Larry doing the same thing, right? Larry Roundtree's out there. And so it's like, man, like I don't know. I'm like, both these guys, I'd feel comfortable having them on the field. Like they both produce. And so I don't know. I think I can't even tell you because it's been back and forth. Like literally in our room, it's been back and forth. And I think there's been some purpose behind that to put pressure on them. And then obviously, you know, Isaiah Spiller came in, you know, was injured, missed a game. So that definitely hurt him just as far as us getting to see him live in that short window in the preseason. But right now, like, I'm still interested to see how it plays out, and time will tell.
Yeah, I know people are definitely interested to see how this is all going to go. Last question for both of you guys. Tell me what is the most, like, Austin, what's the most fun part about playing with Justin? And Justin, what's the most fun part about playing with Austin?
Ooh, most fun part about playing. I've kind of been saying it, but just like, and he touched on it, just like the dedication and just his love for this game. Like, I remember talking to my agent, actually. I'm like, man, like, when you have a guy like Justin that has the caliber of play that he has, and you know, the organization that is bought into him, and so you have this franchise type of guy, and then not only that, but the community's bought into them, it just makes it more exciting to even play football, because you have like the quarterback position is so important to a team, right? That if you have a stud there, like people buy into that. Like who are the guys that people are like looking towards? Look at who's the quarterback for this team. Can he get it done? You know? And so when you have that, and when you have some, especially as young as Justin coming out here and doing his thing, like that's like, I told you, that's like, that like, man, I'm like, I want to keep going, man. Cause it's exciting. Right.
Thanks.
So I appreciate you, brother.
Best part about playing with Eck. There's more than just one. And you know, I don't want to waste everyone's time here, but
take as much time as you need, man. This is Eckler's edge.
One of the most underrated parts of his game is pass protection. When it's third down and he has to go block a linebacker, there's no doubt that Eck's going to throw his body out there, and he's going to give me a little bit of time to get the ball off. And if he does get out on his route and it's a check down and I give him a ball for 2 yards, I know he's going to break a tackle, he's going to make someone else miss, and he's going to go for 20 to 30 yards. And I think that part of the game is so tough, because when everyone's covered downfield and you've got Eck down there and you're able to hit him and he goes and gets a first down, I think that's the toughest thing about having to guard him.
Mm. So take that, Coach Staley. He likes my blocking.
Oh, we love it. Some coaching pass protection heat. Well, Justin, thank you for being our first guest here in season 2 and the first episode of the podcast of Eckler's Edge. Man, I mean, I'm pretty gassed up to watch some Chargers football now.
Oh, yeah. Hey, no doubt. No doubt. How can you not be?
It's going to be an awesome season, man.
Guess that way. I appreciate you coming on, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, absolutely. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, that was awesome. Having Justin on the show, pretty sweet. Like I said, huge jump in terms of cachet, welcoming Austin Eckler and Justin Herbert onto the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast feed here with Eckler's Edge episode 1. I think it was a pretty good start.
Yeah, you know, we start out the bar pretty high, you know, with Jay Herb. So we try to keep it going as long as we can, but nonetheless, bring you some great value and just life too, right? Like, I think there's some messages in there, fantasy, life, consistency. Maybe hopefully you can get value in some way, you know, from this. Hopefully it's fantasy, but you might catch it something else too.
I mean, you said early on in the show, if you don't like watching the Chargers offense, you must not like football. If you didn't learn something from all the wisdom that you dropped during the show, like, you might need to go back and clean your ears out a little bit or something, because there was a lot of knowledge you dropped there. That was awesome. Austin, this has been great.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this year. This show is going to be great. For you all out there, you can follow Austin on Twitter at Austin Eckler. You can follow me at Matt Harmon underscore BYB. And while you're there, for God's sakes, make sure you're following at Yahoo Fantasy. Don't forget, we're accepting emails to askaustin@yahoosports.com. Send us your questions, comments, whether they're written, audio, video. We will take anything,
all of them,
and screen them and then bring the best ones on the show, obviously. So Dalton will be back tomorrow to preview the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Until then,